Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today we focus on mental health. Balance and stability are good for mind and body as well as the spirit. That's the expert view of Baroness Sheila Hollins, independent member of the House of Lords sitting on the crossbenches and Professor of Psychiatry at the University of London. Here's Baroness Hollins' insightful reflection.
We all need to look after our bodies, our minds and our souls. If there's something wrong in one part of our being, the effects will be seen in another part. I sometimes remind medical students that the brain and the heart are in the same body, and that it's not surprising that something wrong with one will affect the other. People with depression have more heart problems and vice versa. The old saying that someone died of a broken heart may have some truth in science after all. You will probably be familiar with the 5-a-day campaign to get us all to eat more fruit and vegetables for a healthy body. But are you aware of the 5-a-day for a healthy mind? What would these include, do you think? I will give you the research evidence for the 5 things to do each day to protect and promote our mental health. But first, I'd like you to think about what you would come up with. And when you've thought about that, what would your 5-a-day for spiritual health look like? You might like to pause the recording to reflect on my question. So what do you think? Well, the research evidence in the Foresight Project, which was published in 2009, showed that being physically active, connecting with others, taking time to notice our surroundings, learning something new, and giving to our neighbours and communities were the 5 most important things to do every day to keep mentally well and healthy. There's good research evidence for the benefit of each of them. I mentioned them in a piece I wrote for The Tablet in 2010 in the series 5 Minutes with the Pope. This is also relevant to my theme, because I made a point about the human need of priests for friendship. The Tablet subtitled my piece, Priests Need a Hug a Day. I had written that there's a risk that priests will become isolated and lonely in our present parish structure. And I suggested that priests are more like other people in terms of their need for social and intimate relationships than the church usually acknowledges. I explained that having a hug every day is one of the evidence-based 5-a-day for better mental health, that fundamental need to connect with another person. I don't think anyone else has come up with 5-a-day for spiritual health yet. In my mind, they are very similar to the 5-a-day for better mental health. I suggest that they include prayer, holy reading, silence, giving to others, and a deep awareness of creation. We usually measure the expected outcomes of any intervention, so we would expect a reduction in obesity and heart disease if we ate 5 fruit and veg a day. We might expect less stress, anxiety and depression if we followed the 5-a-day for better mental health. Our spiritual 5-a-day perhaps might be expected to bring us closer to God and nearer to achieving holiness and wholeness. If I use the spell checker on my family name, Hollins, I'm offered holiness as an alternative. This regular prompt when I spell check my writing leads to much reflection. What is holiness? Is it the same as grace? And are people who have it saints? In 2005, members of my family were being described as saintly, and I must say I didn't like it. Cardinal Cormac and the Archbishop of Canterbury in their Christmas sermons quoted both me, because of my daughter Abigail, who had been very much in the public eye after an assault left her paralysed. Being called saintly felt burdensome, as if we were being put on a pedestal, and we all know what happens to people on pedestals. Envy or disappointment, often due to unrealistic expectations, soon leads to them being pushed off or discredited. But my daughter gently reminded me that, as Christians, we're all called to be part of the communion of saints. Many people struggle with being seen as holy. A Christian psychiatrist, Dr. Gaius Davies, wrote about grace and holiness, showing how the experience of grace by some well-known Christians didn't change their personalities, their personal struggles, and even their mental health. The people he chose to illustrate his thesis included Martin Luther, C.S. Lewis, and Gerard Manley Hopkins, the Jesuit poet. He could also have chosen Mother Teresa, who we know suffered severe bouts of depression. His theory was that their holiness or grace might inspire others and truly reflect God's light, but do nothing to reduce the person's own challenges. He suggested that these saints were difficult people to live with, who often struggled with their faith, just like most of us. To me, striving for wholeness means being honest to myself and to my friends about who I really am, and trying to be the same person regardless of who I am with at the time. When people say they didn't know that side of him or her, or she's different at work, perhaps they're describing someone who is unsure of themselves. We have many words to describe the state of wholeness. A together person, someone who is true to his or her values, totally trustworthy, full of grace, always loving, a rock, full of hope. What does it mean to be whole? It doesn't mean being perfect, only God can be that. It probably means being real and in touch with different parts of oneself, one's physical, cognitive, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. We are called to be whole, to be holy, and to inspire others through the reflection of God's light in us. So life is a journey of self-discovery to find the real me. And I suggest that the real me will only be found in relationship to the members of my family and my community, your family and your community. Thus, the call of the lay community of St. Benedict to live Holy Communion is really a call to be wholly present to others in my community. What does that mean for membership of a parish community? The Day for Life provides some inspiration for us, which could help us to find a focus in our parishes. It's a day set aside once a year, dedicated to raising awareness about the meaning and value of life at every stage and in every condition. In 2008, Day for Life focused on mental health. The day aimed to raise awareness of the needs of those affected by mental ill health, their friends, their family and their carers, and the support that the parish community and professional services could bring. The leaflet distributed to all parishioners in July that year said, "The person in your parish community who may be suffering today is the young mum with postnatal depression, the child or vulnerable adult who has been sexually abused, the local businessman with stress, your own parish priest, the man who has recently lost his wife to cancer, or the young person who has lost faith in life, the person returning from armed service in a war zone, as well as someone with an obvious severe and enduring mental illness." Offering the hand of friendship is a crucial step towards a person's recovery. Archbishop Bernard Longley, who was then the bishop for Day for Life, said, "Fear of difference can lead to us rejecting and stigmatising the other. This day offers us the opportunity to see what we can do as individuals and as a parish community to reach out to those in need." In support of the 2008 day, I said, "People sometimes feel that they would not get depressed or anxious or turn to alcohol or other substances to help them cope if they were a better Catholic. Sometimes people say that if you are a good Catholic or if you have a religious belief, surely your relationship with God is going to be enough, and that is going to get you through. Isn't it a sign of weakness if you cannot pull yourself together and get over whatever the problem is that you're experiencing?" But that is to misunderstand the nature of mental illness and some of the difficulties that people experience in their mental health. If someone is ill, they need professional help. There is a relationship between mental and spiritual health, but they are not the same. telling somebody who is depressed to pull themselves together is no more effective for depression than it would be for somebody who had cancer or heart disease. I know from my experience as a psychiatrist that mental illness presents some real challenges to the local church. People with mental health problems, sometimes known as service users or survivors, talk about the importance of recovery approaches as they journey towards mental well-being. Recovery is an interesting concept and is not the same as cure. It's more akin to the kind of healing that many speak of when they go to Lourdes. Think about someone with a physical disability who has no prospect of being cured of their physical ailment, but who has come to terms with their physical impairment and wants to get on with their life, making whatever adjustments are necessary to be able to lead an ordinary and full life as a member of their family and their community. The same is true for someone with an enduring mental illness. So what can the church do to create inclusive and supportive communities for people with mental health problems? Well, the bishops have provided some leadership here by establishing a project group using Day for Life funds. As well as running a small grants program to promote mental health in our communities, there's a project website which has lots of good things we can do in our own parishes. The website link is www.mentalhealthproject.co.uk/resources. Here are just two ideas mentioned on the website. The first, I suggest to you, is offering a listening and befriending ministry to people with mental health problems. And the second might be to organise support for people returning to the parish, returning armed forces personnel, returning patients and returning prisoners. I'm going to end my talk by commending my spiritual five a day to you. My husband is a teacher and he suggested that you would need a mnemonic to remember them by. So here goes. G is for giving, and in the context of today's talk, giving to those with mental health problems in our communities. R is for holy reading to deepen our faith. A is for abstinence, by which I mean silence, avoiding noise. C is for God's creation and our daily awareness of it. And E is for engaging with God in prayer. And there you have it, G-R-A-C-E. Let's keep grace in mind.
Baroness Sheila Hollins there, an independent member of the House of Lords sitting on the crossbenches and Professor of Psychiatry at the University of London. For more on the Mental Health Project from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk/mentalhealth or the project website www.mentalhealthproject.co.uk.